keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero, cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We're living in a world that keeps breaking, but if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Simple Church, how y'all feeling this morning? Come on, there's only three or four of you. Boy, y'all sound good, man. Look at you, making it happen even on a snow day. So good morning and thank you for watching. Happy Valentine's Day to one and to all. We are thankful that you are tuned in to a series that we started last week called Love, and then we put it on blank there, and I asked you to submit how you would fill in the blank, all right? So let me just put the logo on the screen for you so you know what I'm talking about. Love. How do you fill in the blank? And let me tell you, you have been doing a great job. I want you to send your suggestions to Justin at thesimplechurch.tv so that I can know how you want to fill in the blank. And then I am choosing one of those great answers that you have submitted to build an entire message on. And so this week, we're going to do that. And I want to let you know, it means something when you send me your stories, when you tell me what's going on in your life, including the suggestions I'm asking for. It's awesome. But more importantly, man, some of you have been so encouraging and just reminding me of why this is so important, that we put this broadcast out, that we make sure that you can see the messages, because it does encourage you and it does help you. But I'm just telling you, your emails help us to keep it going. So thank you for submitting all those. So what is the blank today? How are we filling in this blank? And last week I gave you a little hint. So here is your hint for this week, all right? Here's a picture so that you can have a hint. This is it. Most of you are going, I have no idea what that is. Well, this is the brain and that is the heart. And many of you are going, all right, love is smart. Love is what? I don't know. All right, let's quit all the guessing and give you the answer. You ready? Love is irrational. And you're going, amen. It doesn't make sense. A lot of times when you look at it and you're like, I don't know if this really makes sense at all. If you've ever been in love, you know that to be true. If you've ever experienced love in any way, you know that it is a little weird. Sometimes it's a little crazy. One little definition is lacking mental clarity, and I get it, especially when you see these pictures I'm fixing to show you right now, because this is a proposal that actually happened. So somebody fell in love, and they said, hey, I'm going to get a tattoo, and then I'm going to ask you to check yes or no, all right? I know that's not for everybody, but remember, it's a little irrational. She is actually a tattoo artist, so he actually got the tattoo from somebody else, showed up at her parlor and said, hey, check your answer, and she checked yes. Yay, how sweet. A little crazy, a little irrational. But if you think that's crazy, this next one is next level crazy, irrational love. It's Valentine's Day, so we're talking about proposals. We're talking about unusual, out-of-the-box ways to propose. And this one is definitely all of the above. Irrational, out-of-the-box, a little crazy. Watch this.
Josh knew he wanted to be with Brooke forever. And when they had been together for 4 years, he arranged a surprise for her. He staged a proposal like no other. Standing on a rooftop edge, he asked a mutual friend, Bobby, to toss him the ring. Then he pretended to fall off the roof. What Brooke didn't know, of course, was that it was planned. When Josh fell, he landed on a crash cushion. On the ground was the question, "Will you marry me?" in large, bold printed letters. After recovering from the initial fear, Brooke said yes. But we're not so sure we would have let him off that lightly. Josh is, indeed, a very lucky man.
He's a lucky man to be alive, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm surprised that his fiance didn't kill him. Angie would have never let me live that one down. Crazy idea, irrational, out of the box way to begin their relationship. So hopefully, if you're looking for proposal ideas, this is not one that you take. But if you're going, all right, give me another example of irrational love, something kind of really outside the box. I ran across this story not too long ago, and it is an amazing story of a 99-year-old man. And this is at the end of a relationship. Yes, it's kind of sad, but it is also inspirational, because when you see this guy's heart, when you see what he's willing to do for his wife, it is irrational, but it is amazing and it is inspiring. Watch this.
If you visit Rochester, New York, you're likely to spot a feisty elderly man making his way across town. His name is Luther Younger, and every day, rain or shine, he trudges 6 miles to and from Strong Memorial Hospital to visit the love of his life, Waverly.
That's my wife. She's my best friend.
Waverly was diagnosed with a brain tumor 9 years ago, and she's been in and out of the hospital ever since. But that won't keep Luther from her side.
I love her because she was tough. She wasn't easy. She was the type of person, if you didn't work, you got to go, and I had to work. And she helped me with all my kids. Wasn't none of her kids. And that's why I'm sticking with her, because if it hadn't been for my wife, I wouldn't have made it.
If he wanted to wait, he could get a ride from his daughter, Luthetta, even take the bus. But sometimes, love simply can't wait.
Got a ride? I don't want to wait on the bus. I want to go up there to see my wife.
The grandfather even runs portions of his journey, paying no mind to the heat.
Be careful, Luther. It's hot out.
My dad says that it keeps him alive. It keeps him going.
Decades into their marriage, he's still rushing to be by her side.
Get over there with my wife. Watch this. Baby, give me a kiss. Give me a kiss. Give me a kiss.
And he's proud to note that his kisses still make her eyes flutter, even after all these years.
It's the best cup of tea I ever had in my life.
Yep, that's my cup of tea. He always uses that line. He's always cared about her the way he does. I mean, he loves my mom. He'll do anything for her.
Then, like he does every night, Luther makes the long trek home, certain that the next morning he'll turn around and do it all again. Why? Because she's his cup of tea. And really, in the long walk of life, what's 6 more miles?
Come on, man. Give it up for that story. Love, man, on Valentine's Day. A great example. Steve and Charlotte, I know y'all are watching as well. You're another great example right here inside of our church. And if you have a story and you want to share that with us, maybe it's inspirational, maybe it's your proposal story or your love story, send it to us, man. Send it to my email, because I'd love to be able to talk about that in the pre or post show next week, just to encourage you that it does matter. People are looking for love. It doesn't always make sense. I get it. It sometimes is irrational, but it is also inspirational. And that's the idea behind today's message, is to inspire you, to encourage you on this Valentine's Day. Now, I'm not going to go into this next thing lightly, I'm about to say. So before I even say it, I am not hating. I'm just making a statement here, all right? As Pat Worley says, I ain't hating, I'm just stating, all right? The people that are doing these things, whether it's the proposal or this sweet man right here, you got to understand, it's kind of a little weird because they really are still benefiting from the sacrifice. There's no doubt that you will see crazy, fun, irrational things being done, but there is a benefit for the person that's doing it. And so as I started writing out the notes for this week, when you really start thinking about irrational love, real irrational love, there's something extra when it comes to this irrational idea. It's this, that when you're an irrational lover, there is really no personal benefit for you involved in whatever that sacrifice may be. Now, you go, what do you mean? Well, like I said, this guy's walking this long way because he loves his wife so much, he wants to receive that love and remind her of that love. So he's connected to her in that way. It does something for him, so much so that he can't even wait. He's got to make it happen. When you saw the proposal, obviously he is getting the girl of his dreams. He is making sure that she knows, I love you and I want to be with you, but he wins as well. So real irrational love goes the next level. And the next level is, it really doesn't make sense because you're not benefiting at all. Jesus understood this and got this point. In matter of fact, when you look in the stories of Jesus and the way that he lived his life out and the examples that you see in his life, there are true irrational love moments. One of those is found when all the disciples had gathered up and they had a fight. They were literally arguing with each other at a dinner. In the middle of this dinner, they're arguing who is going to be the greatest. They're saying, hey, you know what? I'm the man. No, I'm going to be the man. No, I'm the man. And Jesus is sitting here looking at all this going on, and he's like, what is happening? Well, what was happening was the disciples are saying, who benefits the most by serving Jesus. And if I serve him, I'm going to get the seat of power. I'm going to sit next to Jesus. I'm going to have some authority in his kingdom. And Jesus was looking around confused. He's going, wait a second. You guys haven't heard anything I've said. You've not learned anything yet. And how do we know this? By his next statement. In Matthew 23, verse 11, it says this. The greatest among you will be the one who always serves others from the heart. He was literally flipping the script on them. They were going, hey, I'm going to be the greatest because I have done everything I'm supposed to do and I have been with Jesus. And man, put me in the seat of authority. Let me be the guy who's over a group of people. Or let me have this power. And Jesus is like, no, the only power, the only way you're going to be able to see this is the person who literally decides to give their life away, who decides to serve. Y'all are fighting over benefits. And I'm telling you, this is what Jesus was saying. I'm telling you, it's about sacrifice. And then Jesus, Daddy, like if you ever had your kids fighting, let me demonstrate this for you. And he went into an irrational act of love. John chapter 13 says it like this. Jesus was fully aware that the Father had placed all things under his control. So Jesus was absolutely knowing that, hey, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And what does he do when all of that is in his control? He had come from God. He was about to go back to him. This is in the moments of literally before his crucifixion and before his resurrection. What does he do? He gets up from the meal, took off his outer robe, took a towel and wrapped it around his waist. Why? So that he could wash the disciples' feet. He poured water into the bowl and began to wash their dirty feet. I love the Passion Translation there because it's like, don't forget, these are not clean feet. These were nasty man feet. Can I get an amen out there, men? Somebody, right? Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. There's no pedicures back then. Just for the record, this is not like you went and cleaned your feet and had some nice pedicure time. No, this is what a foot looked like back then. Nasty, dirty man feet. And Jesus, the King of Kings, the guy who had all authority been given to him, gets down on his knees and washes their feet. All power in heaven and earth given to him, and he chooses to serve an irrational act of love with no personal benefit for him. He literally was choosing to wash these nasty feet so that he could demonstrate to them what irrational love looked like. John 13, verse 34 and 35, continue this thought when it says this, love each other just as much as I have loved you. He kept challenging them. Well, they had seen it now. They had seen him go into service. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. Now, you know this. We've talked about this a lot. But in the middle of all that is going on in our world, this is another challenge, another reminder to each and every one of us. That is why we are on the planet, to demonstrate our love for our Father. And how do we do that? By serving other people. We're here to demonstrate irrational love. Those are what these scriptures are about. These are what these stories are about. This is what Jesus was about. John chapter 15 even goes on in verse 13 when it says this, the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. So it's not like, hey, I love you and what am I getting in return? Irrational love is I am just serving with expecting nothing in return. I am just serving and giving everything that I have. And then it continues, and this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. This is once again a reminder saying, man, I am not in this for what I get out of it. I am demonstrating this love as a pure example of not what we win, not what I receive, but how I can give so that the world recognizes my Father. Now, every once in a while, you run across a story that shows us exactly what that looks like in our modern world. And no, it's not a Steve Hartman story. Oh, I got one coming in a minute. But until we get there, this is a story of a principal of the high school. And when I saw the story, me and Robin, actually, she texted me, she's like, did you see this? I was like, I already have it. I already got it edited down. because it's a great example of irrational love. A love that goes not for the what benefits him, but what can he give? How can he continue to demonstrate to his students that he loves them? It is by doing an irrational thing, working a night shift at Walmart in addition to his principal job. Want to see the story? Glad you do. Here it is for you. Watch.
The attention, I'm not used to it. I don't think that I've done anything worthy of distinction to warrant the attention.
This is Henry Darby, Walmart associate by night, stocking shelves on the graveyard shift from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. But he has a day job too, a tough one at that.
Good morning. How you doing?
As a beloved principal of North Charleston High School in North Charleston, South Carolina.
Well, then put your jacket on, please. Do not go in that building without your jacket on.
COVID-19 has really placed a damper on the personal relationship because at North Charleston High School, we do express the 3 R's, rigor, relevance, and relationship. Everybody knows that I'm a hugger. When I see my student, come here, boy. Come here, child. Come here, give me a big hug. Meet them at the door, off the buses. You got problems with it? Come here. Give me a hug anyhow. I'm just that type of guy.
He's also the kind of guy who knocks on a student's doors after school and on weekends to check in. A student body who has 90% of their families living below the poverty line. The pandemic hitting his community especially hard.
I get a little emotional because when you've got children, you've heard sleeping under a bridge, or a former student and her child is sleeping in a car, or when you go to a parent house because there's problems and you knock on the door, there are no curtains and you see a mattress on the floor. And these people need, and I wasn't going to say no. And at my age, you know, we don't ask for money. We just don't. You just go ahead and do what you need to do.
And Mr. Darby did. That night shift at Walmart, it's for them. Every paycheck, every dime, all of it goes to helping his students in need. He has done so quietly, not even telling his manager at Walmart about his day job.
Even before we knew, there was something special about him. I would be so happy to have Mr. Darby for as long as he will have us as a part of his family and beyond.
His endurance, almost superhuman, walking what must be miles through his high school hallways during the day and stocking what looks like miles of shelves at Walmart at night. It's shocking to everyone but his students because they know that's just the kind of man he is.
He's ready to help anybody.
He's impacting the community in a very special way.
He's there when you least expect it, but when you need him the most.
Mr. Darby's only request of his students, whom he calls his grandchildren, is to pay it forward.
It's quite simple, simplistic. Just learn to help others. That is one of the greatest things that we could do in terms of human beings.
Simple, yet powerful words from a man who knows that one person might not change the world, but they might change the world for one person, and that can make all the difference.
I am an optimist, but I'm also a determinist. I know that it's going to get better. I know that these times will not always be with us. I know that my students will not always be in poverty. I know that because that's what we are. America makes it better for everybody.
Come on, man. Give it up for this guy right here. Unbelievable. I put it on the screen for you because this is really this guy's whole idea of living, to demonstrate irrational love to his students. And this is what Christ was doing when he got down on his knees to wash the feet of the disciples, to remind them, hey, how we're going to be known is when we do irrational things out of our love for one another. So maybe you're going, all right, Justin, well, how does this apply to me? Well, hopefully you'll be encouraged and challenged by the true stories that you're seeing, and you'll begin to examine your life and go, am I an irrational lover of other people? Am I really committed to being like Christ and taking on this heart of a servant? Well, that is why the Simple Church exists. We're here to remind you, to encourage you, and to equip you to do the very things that Christ has called us to do. And that's why next week we'll do Hospital Hope, and we'll go out and love on these hospitals. That's why North Dallas, you did it this past Wednesday, which I'm telling you I'm so thankful for, because you're setting the example. Why do we give the gifts? Why do we give the money, the food? To demonstrate irrational love. So when I call you to get out of the bed and go drop off drinks next week, why am I asking you to do that? Why am I asking you to go and serve, to put the food out into the hands of these doctors and nurses in the local community? Because it's irrational acts of love. Now, I don't know about you, but I have heard a lot of people over the years say, I just can't find a church that meets my needs. I'm just looking for a church that meets my needs. See, this is one of, if not the biggest problems in the American church. We think that the church is really about us. When I am telling you to follow Christ, to follow His example, is to make it not about you. To find a way to put love into action for it to be irrational. Now, I'm going to put a statement on the screen that's going to rock some of you, because this is where we are in our culture. But here it goes. We are not spiritual consumers. We should be spiritual contributors. We should be saying, hey, it's not about what I get out of this, but the call to follow Jesus and follow the example He has set is to say, what can I give? How can I be a part of loving the way that He loved? If you look at the life of Jesus, that's what He did time after time, moment after moment, story after story. And in His last moments on this earth, when the disciples were gathered up, they started arguing just like we do in the American church. They started arguing about, well, what's in it for me? And this is me. This is about me. What am I going to get? I want to be the greatest. I want my kids to have the best. I won't. And He stops the argument. How does He stop the argument? By taking off His robe, putting on His towel, and bending down and starting to wash their feet. And in that moment, everyone is going, wait a second, I think we missed it. Well, maybe today, this will be the moment for you to not be thinking about what you get, but think about how can you give irrational love. Philippians continues to tell us, because you'll see that the writers figured it out in the New Testament. They started really getting into it, and they said, abandon every display of selfishness. Like, get rid of anything that looks like, hey, I'm in it for me. This is to the church, y'all. This is to us. Well, yeah, but I just like this worship music, or I just want my kids to have this, or I just want this or that. Let me tell you something. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. This is the biggest challenge. This is why we struggle in our current society. It's because most of us are concerned with what's in it for me. And to follow Christ and to follow His example and to be what this world needs, to be what this country needs, to be what your community needs, somebody somewhere has to say, man, it's not about me. I will abandon all of my selfish desires. I will sacrifice and I will love irrational the way my Savior did. So if you want to change your marriage, what do? You serve. If you want to change your friendships, what do? You serve. Man, I'm looking for meaning in life, Justin. If I could just find true meaning in life, what do? You serve. Man, I want to make a difference in the world. I want to find why I'm on this planet and change this world. How do it? You serve. So this is the challenge for all of us. This is what Jesus was laying down. Let me show you what irrational love looks like. It's Hospital Hope. It's this idea, again, of looking around and saying, what need can I be a part of solving? How can I be love in action in my community, in my workplace, in my school? And when we do, man, it changes us and it changes our world. So here's the question for you. Ready? What if you love, serve, so much that it becomes instinct? What if you decide to love and serve every day in every moment that you don't even have to think about it? It's irrational. It gets to the place where you don't even have to really go, well, I don't know if I should or shouldn't. It's just like, it's instinct. It is the way that you are made. You go, well, Justin, well, give me an example. Well, I'm glad you asked for that, because here is a Steve Hartman video for you once again. And this is a crazy, irrational love story that really became such instinct. It's powerful when you realize the disease that was taking a man's mind, but yet he had done it so often and so frequent that even when dementia was trying to rob him, there was something in there, and it became instinct. Watch.
Remembering 60 years back is hard for anyone, but for Melvin Amrine, the groom in these pictures, it's especially challenging.
Did I invite you to marry me, or did you ask me?
No, you asked me to marry you.
Oh, is that right?
Melvin was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 3 years ago.
Some of that is kind of lost.
For his wife, Doris, it's been hard to watch. But she says something happened recently to remind her that the man she fell in love with is still in there.
It's special because even though the mind doesn't remember everything, the heart remembers.
Okay.
It happened the day before Mother's Day, when Melvin, who normally needs help just walking around the block, turned up missing.
See a white male by the name of Melvin Amrine.
Police dispatch here in Little Rock, Arkansas, put out the call.
He left the house walking approximately 40 minutes ago.
They eventually found him 2 miles from his house.
Police say they get these calls every once in a while of an Alzheimer's patient out wandering aimlessly. But this one was different. When the officers approached Melvin, they say it was clear. He was a man on a mission.
It was absolutely a moment of clarity for him.
Sergeant Brian Grigsby and Officer Troy Dillard say even though Melvin didn't know his address or where he'd come from, he absolutely knew where he was going.
I mean, he was pretty adamant.
He wasn't going home until he got those flowers.
Flowers?
That's what he wanted. He wanted flowers for his wife because tomorrow was Mother's Day.
Melvin had bought flowers for his wife every Mother's Day since the birth of their first child, and he wasn't going to disappoint her now.
We had to get those flowers. We had to get them. I didn't have a choice.
So after telling dispatch they were taking the man right home,
and there's the Kroger's,
the officers secretly stopped by the grocery store. Surveillance video shows them helping Melvin pick out the flowers. And when Melvin came up short at the register, look who slipped the cashier the difference. Meanwhile, back at home, a very worried wife was about to get the gift of a lifetime.
As he came up those steps, and I saw those roses and the smile on his face, I mean, I just broke inside. I just said, thank you.
Remembering 60 years back is hard for...
You didn't get to see the end of the video. Maybe we'll try to put it online so that you can see the whole thing. But here's the idea. It became his instinct. Regardless of the disease that had taken his mind, he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He knew even in the moments when there was clarity on little in his life, he had done it so often, so frequent. It was who he is. I believe this is what God's calling us to, that we do it so often, so frequent, that no matter what else is going on, when people say, what are they known for? It is irrational acts of love, even when it makes no sense to no one else. I have a feeling, though, that when you do it just like these stories, they will inspire you, or they will encourage you, and it will remind you. This is what we're called to do. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that today, on this Valentine's Day, God, whether we have the person of our dreams or not, that we would go beyond what's in it for us. And we would follow the example that you set, that you challenged your followers with, even in the upper room on the last moments of your life. On this planet, you said, let me demonstrate for you what love looks like. It will bow down on its knees, and it will serve in an irrational act of love. And when we do that, something special happens. The world recognizes. And those disciples recognized it and it changed their life. Help us to do the same thing. In a world that desperately needs those examples, help us to set the example. Help it to be so common, so normal for us that it is our instinct. And I thank you again that you set the example. Not only, God, did you wash our feet, you, Jesus, went to the cross, shed your blood, you gave your life for us, and then as a show of that love, Lord, you overcame the grave to remind us that we can overcome whatever it is that we're going through. So I pray today someone would be encouraged by it, they would be reminded of who you are and what you're about, and if they've never surrendered their life, God, it wouldn't be about church, it wouldn't be about what's in it for them, it would be a matter of going, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I want to be like you. And I want to invite you to come into my life, to change me so that I can set the example for my family, for my friends. And I thank you, Jesus, that you promised to meet them right where they are. We love you, Jesus. We thank you again for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on, one time. Perfect. Here's the deal, man. We're about to wrap up and go to the post show, so get ready to watch. Make sure that you send in any suggestions, emails, whatever it may be. If there's something that we can do to encourage you, to inspire you, however you want to fill in the blank, we'd love to hear from you. And I even have an extra Steve Hartman video for you in the post show. Why? Because it's Valentine's Day. I got to encourage you and give you something else that you might need to help you have a great day. So stay warm, all right? Hang in there, and here it comes. The post show starts right now. Here we go.